I want to move on to B, which is sounds like we're getting deserve more ethical ethics credit for CLE here. This our last legislative session, we picked up a lot of the revised Uniform Durable Power of Attorney Act, and I think the most significant changes was, number one, the requirement that any third party must deal with and accept the agent's authority to enter the transaction. Bracket, unless about 18 exceptions exist, all of which came from the Texas Bankers Association, close bracket, but also the ability of other family members or concerned friends to seek a review of the agent's conduct and, if necessary, have standing to bring an action to insist that the agent account. Those were two, to my mind, the principal changes. How's it working out? Any war stories to tell about banks still turning you down?
So we have this same statute in our state, and we adopted it a little over a year ago. And the usual suspect that declined to accept our, 20-page custom-drafted document are also not accepting this one. And their in-house compliance people have told them, we are better off getting sued than taking a power of attorney that is being used illicitly. In the olden days, it used to be that a poison pen letter from the drafting attorney saying, this power of attorney is still good, it hasn't been revoked, and if you don't accept it, we're going to sue you. That used to work. It does not work anymore.
Mm-hmm. So I used to do a long-form power of attorney, and it was great because I wrote it, and banks rejected it. So I quit doing that and started doing our new statutory power of attorney, which I think has all kinds of issues and concerns, but banks look at it and go, oh, good, it's the official form, and they accept it. Hmm. And since I've been using the statutory form, I've had just a few little things with, the financial institution that is mad that it's not their form. And, if I have a client that has all of their or has money at big institutions, I'll always tell them, well, call them up, do their forms, bring their forms with you to the signing conference if you can. But overall, I haven't had any real firefights or disasters with powers of attorney.
We had one client present a power of attorney to the bank, and they said it's too old. It hadn't been signed recently enough. Mm-hmm. And he pointed to the notary commission, which said the notary commission expires in 2019. And the bank officer said, oh, that's okay then.
Okay. Put water on that one real fast. Yeah. In 44 and a half years, I've never not accomplished what I needed to under my old long-firm power of attorney. I've had to threaten a few lawsuits, and this is pre this new statute, so I don't have any experience on that. But there's old Texas law that says a general power of attorney can be used to transfer and convey real estate. You don't have to have a legal description, so you kind of have to be pushy sometimes. But my experience is what used to be like a 4-page power of attorney is now something like a 35-page power of attorney, because I'm still telling third parties what they can and cannot do. I think that the requirement that the agent's responsibilities be attached or be a part of the power is actually great, because then the client has to read it. And after this debacle we had in Texas law with two cases about a person appointed, named in a power of attorney, being held to fiduciary duties without having accepted or acted, caused me to put both into my power of attorney. So now I have an acceptance and an action requirement. But I never had the power of the agent accepted.
35 pages. Has anyone ever read it besides you?
Yes.
What did the bank say? It must be okay because it's from Rhonda Brink?
I don't think it's that, but I've never not accomplished what I needed to.
How about Mickey?
We use the statutory form. We use the short form. We do attach, I think, the one page, when you act under this power of attorney, these are your duties and responsibilities. I think that's very helpful. I think it was well drafted. We do attach that to the back. We don't necessarily make the agent sign before it's in force. I've just developed a new long-form power of attorney, which is the statutory form, but instead of having just the description. I have the power to do real estate transactions, including all the transactions described in this section of the estate code, and also including, and then basically set out what the statutory powers are. So it looks like a long-form power of attorney. It's really just the statute built into a power of attorney so that you don't have to incorporate the statute by reference, or just incorporate the statute by reference. The document does, too. I think it's about 7 pages long.
I know that we are going to talk about hot powers in a minute, and so not about that, but just one of the standard powers, be aware, is personal and family maintenance. And you look at the statute of what that includes. That includes a providing for the person's spouse and children and other individuals customarily or legally entitled to support by the principal. So it includes children of the principal to provide living quarters, domestic help, usual vacations, travel expenses, shelter, clothing and food, medical, automobiles, and charge accounts for the convenience of the individual.